Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight. Don't forget, change the bandwidth if you are buffering, because I'm now streaming at a higher bitrate to get a higher quality show. But for those of you who have a slower connection, you're going to have to change the bandwidth. But you have this option on Odyssey. You just have to click on auto 720p or 1080p or put it at 480p. Put whatever works for you, but I am done diminishing the bitrate so much that we all have to suffer a lower quality of show just because some of you do not have a good connection. Odyssey told me that they have done changes to the system and that at this point it shouldn't be on their side. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? I've been off the internet as far as the regular show went because I was too... I had too much of a cold, and my voice was extremely weak. It's still not fully recovered. And yesterday I had to make a choice. I didn't have the energy to do both a regular show and the debate, so I chose, okay, I will honor my commitment to the debate because that's important. That involves promises to other people to be there. And it was a debate against Brent Lengel. It went very well. Very happy with my performance. I think I squeezed him with some edge cases that I had put in my mind before the debate. You know, this guy is basically telling us, yeah, it's okay if teachers call your child she or he, even if it's not his biological sex, and even if you have not consented to this. But on the other hand, he says that a 14-year-old should not be able to consent to a tattoo without parental consent. Now, it's infinitely much graver to be changing the gender identity of someone than to have a tattoo. I know that tattoos are permanent and everything, but there are solutions to tattoos. You can hide them, you can laser them out, and also it's just a tattoo. It's not going to have the psychological impact of a psychological intervention meant for gender dysphoria. Those are two worlds apart. And yet you have this guy, Brent, telling us that, yeah, he's fine with the teacher doing the psychological operation on your child, but not with the tattoo artist. That was very inconsistent, and I highlighted this. I was very proud that I could catch him on this. Then, I mean, the whole debate was, is the left pushing their sexual ethics on kids? There's no position here. At best, you could argue maybe it's not a widespread phenomenon, and then you could come up with statistics. But you cannot argue that it's not happening. We have video evidence of it happening. So his argument was total shit. He started saying, do you even understand dialectic materialism? It doesn't make sense that the left would do this. And it's like the case of someone so blinded from a reality that he's making a purely ideological argument. He went to, well, it wouldn't make sense that the left does this because, well, that's not the question. The question is whether they do it. Do they do it? Yes, they do it. It doesn't matter if it doesn't make sense. Maybe you can argue then that it doesn't make sense, their behavior. But you won't argue out of reality something with an idealistic self-contradiction type of argument. And yet that's what he tried to do. So I remained calm and just presented the facts. And he would dismiss those facts based on, oh my God, it comes from the New York Post. It can't be true. Sorry, but I will trust the journalist of the New York Post if they provide evidence, if they back up with a video. I will trust the journalist of Project Veritas if they bring the video. I mean, you have to explain to me how a video of a teacher for 40 minutes has been edited in a deceptive way. Is it AI? Is it deep fake? How does that work? How do you fake a communist teacher for 40 minutes? And in fact, why would you use all this technology if the communist teacher is right at the next door? Like, you go into your local school and you'll find one and you'll have them admit on hidden camera. That's actually easier than making up a deep fake story and I don't know what he thought he was getting at there, but he tried dismissing based on the reputability of sources. That's pretty much how Wikipedia has turned out, you know? These guys think that because it's a rule on Wikipedia, then it's a rule of reality and it happens in a debate. And no, in a debate, you have to explain to me why do you not believe this evidence. Purple Tuna says, I watched Kino Casino and Warski is completely talentless. I mean, completely. Why does he have so many followers and why did PPP recruit him? Does his presence really increase viewership? I don't know what's up with him. I'm not going to follow it because I'm sure it's the continuation of a train wreck that I've already seen the beginning of, and I don't have much interest in following this forever. I've done my humanitarian, I done my charity work with Warski. It didn't work. I cannot do more than that charity work. I was happy to do it, but I can't go further. Wuju Summer sends a super chat. He says, finally catching a show live. Thank you. John Drake says, asking you for evidence and never providing any of his own. Pathetic. Yeah, it's like, oh, you made this map yesterday? Oh, yesterday. Oh, you made this map yesterday. It's like, yeah, it's not more false because it comes from yesterday. If you have an alternative map, you show me. My methods are all indicated on Gab, and you can know what this number represents. You can check it for yourself. It's all public data. Anyways, during my absence, there has been a lot happening, including Kanye West awakening. Kanye West awakening to the question of the Jewish community, Jewish power, and saying that he's going to go DEFCON 3. Now, I had to search what that meant. It's an interesting military term, which doesn't mean on the attack mode. It means on the high alert mode, but n not attacking. So basically monitoring, having your planes ready for an intervention within 15 minutes. Dino Lugovich gives the emoji of Kanye West saying, I'm gonna let you finish. I can't believe that this is how we came to know Kanye West. I mean, personally, I had never heard of this guy before that day. I'm gonna let you finish, but this other person should get the. Oh my God. I have to take a moment because I'm losing my voice and I need to sneeze. All right, I'm back. So I'm still shook by my cold, so bear with me. Purple Tuna says, Jeff, your map wasn't even peer reviewed. Yeah, that's and another news. And I'll talk more about Kanye and what he was talking about. The other news that I did wasn't there for coverage because I was absent from the show is the Crimean Bridge explosion. Who or what caused the explosion? Well, Vladimir Putin has declared that this was a terrorist attack by the Ukrainian secret services. People have been speculating about was the bomb on the truck? It seems to be a hypothesis that Russia was heavily pursuing because there was a truck with a tank that exploded at that moment, and it's probably what caused a lot of the fire, at least potentially, because I don't see how you would have a sustained fire on a concrete and asphalt surface if there's no fuel. I mean, just a missile will not lead to a multiple-hour fire unless there is something to be burned. And so I think it makes sense that the truck The truck participated in the fire, but that doesn't mean the bomb was on the truck, because the this video is the most convincing here to show that there is a boat coming just below the bridge, just before the explosion occurs. Have a look at this. I will replay it, and then I will pause at the right moment. So look at it right here. Boat, boom. So now I will try to pause when we see the boat, but the explosion has not occurred. We don't see the boat very much yet. Not yet. And there you go. You have the point here of a boat that seems to be exactly at the site of explosion. Not only this, but causing the explosion above itself and this truck being there just at the right moment. So is it random that this truck was there, or was it targeted? Maybe the Ukrainian forces said, just wait for a truck that looks like a fuel truck and shoot it. Perhaps that's what's happening. But in any case, I'm pretty convinced that this element here must have something to do with what happened. I will replay it in full speed. Boat shows up and boom. And you can see that the boat doesn't quite bomb where the truck was. The truck was still was a little bit forward before the boom, so it didn't strike directly onto the truck, but it's possible the truck later caught fire. I see what I see says, testing to see if I am banned. You are not banned visibly. I can show you. I can see your chat. Purple Tuna says, that fire is from the train, not the road. Yeah, it's possible that there was a train also participating to the fire. Purple Tuna says, confirmed the truck was driven by the ghost of Kiev, Samuel Hydenko. You guys are still memeing on Sam Hyde being a terrorist. In any case, John Bolton has called again for Putin assassination. I mean, this guy cannot stop. This guy likes war so much, he wants it to happen. He has been behind all of the NATO-US wars of the last few decades. That is a true warmonger, never gives up.
I think we should make it clear publicly so that not just Putin, but all the top Russian leadership, all the citizens of Russia know that if Putin authorizes the use of a nuclear weapon, he's signing his own suicide note.
So what would that look like in practical terms?
Well, you know, he's the center of command and control of the Russian military. National Command Authority is what we call it. He's a legitimate military target. And I think, while plenty of other things we can do as well, that he needs to know that he's on our target list at that point.
Now, consider what this is. This is an American, a high-level American in the military and intelligence type of communities, speculating, why don't we kill this leader of a free nation that hasn't attacked us? It's a legitimate military target. One moment, I'll be back. And all of this because they are at war with a foreign nation that is not an ally of the US, that is not in NATO, at least, if you want to understand ally as being an official contract. So this is not the kind of thing that would have been let to happen in the media. If you were to call for striking the head of the US because the US has invaded some Middle Eastern country, they wouldn't have tolerated this, certainly not on mainstream media. Yet we have this happening here. Someone who makes the American people feel entitled to influence the sovereign nation that has done nothing to us. And you can see the thinking behind him when he continues.
Why did you write this week that Putin must go? Now is the time for regime change in Russia.
You know, I think this has been the 800-pound gorilla.
Whoa, wait, what about democracy? What about the sacred institution of democracy? Is it John Bolton's decision to make who leads Russia? Does he even have a single vote valid for Russia?
Gorilla in the room ever since Russia invaded Ukraine. Increasingly, it's clear from everything we know about the way the war was conducted in Ukraine, the atrocities committed, what Putin is doing inside Russia, the threats he's making on the nuclear side. This whole combination of behavior makes it very hard to see how there can ever be normal relations between Europe, the United States, and a Russia under Putin. Russian people are talking about this themselves. Alexei Navalny has written...
So this is meddling in a country. He's saying, let's do it for the Russian people, let's do it for the Ukrainian, let's revert the regime of Putin. Typically, this is what has led America in endless war and in trouble across the world. So Kanye West says, well, it all started with his White Lives Matter t-shirt, which I had covered on the last show that I did. And then Kanye West said that his upcoming concert was canceled because of the White Lives Matter t-shirts that he was wearing. And then Kanye West started tweeting that night, a tweet that has now been removed, but here's the series of tweets. It starts with, "I'm a bit sleepy tonight, but when I wake up, I'm going DEFCON 3. On Jewish people. The funny thing is, I actually can't be anti-Semitic because black people are actually Jew also. You guys have toyed with me and tried to blackball anyone, whoever opposes your agenda." So this tweet has been removed by Twitter. So some people have made the argument that it was a hateful tweet, and the ADL people have commented. I don't think it's a hateful tweet. He's saying, well, first, there's one thing that I didn't know, but Kanye West is this kind of black guy who considered, you know, the whole black Israeli thing. They consider that they are the original, Jews. Black people are actually Jew also. That sounds like the kind of propaganda that you hear in the black Israelite circles. It's not something I agree with, but it's funny because this is the way the black community becomes woke on this question. It's always through this. It's always through, we were the initial Jews. Interesting. Not something that I consider true, but interesting. Now, DEFCON 3, I was like, is that a threat? So I had to research what that means. So DEFCON 3 is a roundhouse or yellow alert level. The DEFCON 3 roundhouse. It's a military alert level. It's an increase in alertness and military readiness, also known as yellow alert status. With DEFCON 3, the Air Force is in a higher state or level of readiness so that they can deploy and mobilize within 15 minutes time. The alert color for DEFCON 3 or roundhouse is yellow. The meaning behind this condition level is similar to that of a yellow caution sign. We are prepared, cautious, and in a state of military readiness. This condition represents a state of preparedness and a high level of caution. Okay, so he could have gone harder, but he has decided to just remain cautious and aware. That is how I would describe Kanye's statement here. Now, he also has some reproaches. He says, "You guys have toyed with me and tried to blackball anyone, whoever opposes your agenda." This is something I've been wanting to discuss many years ago, and just to to have a realization, and to me, this is what it means to be woke on this question, to have a realization that there are Jewish intellectuals in our public space, that they think differently because they are different people, that they identify their own interests differently, that they communicate differently than a Christian or someone of Christian descent. That is pretty much all I wanted to bring the attention to, because to me, there was a version of me that was looking at the world before, and I didn't have a concept of Jewishness. I didn't consider, when I listened to someone, this is a Jewish intellectual, and this is a Jewish academic, and this is not a Jewish academic. And I was lost. There were things I didn't understand about the world. And when the key came into my head of realizing that understanding that someone comes at their public contributions as a Jew changes their perspective. It changes their approach with the world, and it changes what you should expect from them. Because when they speak from the perspective of perceiving themselves as a small minority group of interest that is trying to survive in a larger nation. When they publish something, they are talking to Christian and people of Christian descent like me, but they are talking from the perspective of their own self-interest. And just understanding this is what I consider to be awake on the question of Jews. And I think that Kanye here is demonstrating that he is. He is saying, I will consider those facts going forward. I will see the attacks coming toward me, and I will realize that they come from certain groups of interest. You wouldn't want to hear someone talk about the facts of society without knowing whether they are white or black. And I think you should want to know also whether they are Jewish or white, because I think it matters. Now, just saying this gets you banned off platform, it gets you sent agents after you, and it gets you canceled intellectually. But I my voice is very weak. I'm going to have to do a short show today. But I have to stand by the truth here. I think it helps to understand the world to know that those speakers like John Bolton, people like Sam Harris, they get influenced by being part of what they perceive as a group of interest that is self-caring and and ethnocentric. Covey Killer Clown says, JF, great debate last night. Imagine that idiot calling you a fascist and you're a libertarian and bringing up those lies about your past. Yeah, he didn't have a good hook on this because I'm totally capable of calmly denying, but he tried, and it just showed his sliminess, you know. Give me a break, I'll be back in 10 seconds. All right, so the second tweet, and this one didn't get deleted by Twitter. Who do you think created cancel culture? Now this echoes, someone suggests that I take some lozenge. Yeah, I think it might suit my throat. I do have some pasty cough drops, and it does help. I just don't like the noise that it makes in my mouth. You know, it doesn't allow me to have the correct voice in the mic, but it may be the only way the show can survive tonight. So who do you think created cancel culture? I believe it's a reference to Elon Musk tweets. Elon Musk had, at one point, said, who do you think owns the press? And it was a suggestion that there was a disbalance of ethnic power in the ownership of the press toward the Jewish people. And I think that Kanye West is pointing to the same thing here, that the people who control media too much also control cancel culture too much, influence it too much, and influence it too much with their own ethnocentric concern to be playing into this cancel culture. One moment. I am very sorry. I am trying to speak as much as my voice allows, but it won't be possible for long. And then someone on Gab was saying, you know, don't be too excited at Kanye, because he goes on to say Iranian youth are leading a revolution against 44 years of dictatorship. The world needs to support them and honor their courage. Yeah, I would say to Kanye, you have to be careful. It's super easy to not understand that even this is a kind of positioning on the geopolitics scene that was sold to you, but that doesn't have the value that you think it has. In fact, it's a way to manipulate you toward certain sets of interests that want to revert power in Iran, and those sets of interests are very much aligned with the state of Israel. So be careful, Kanye. People were immediately responding to his tweet. Who do you think created cancel culture? No, Kanye, don't be anti-Semitic, which is quite funny because he didn't give the answer to his question. And so if you perceive anti-Semitism in this, maybe you have the ideas in your head that you should examine. On the side of Twitter censorship, of course, Kanye now has had one of his tweets removed, and he's been suspended from Instagram. And he published a picture of himself chilling with Mark Zuckerberg and saying, how can you ban me, Mark, after we had this night chilling together? I don't think that Mark Zuckerberg was personally involved in the decision. Crazy Catman says, if Kanye is doing this with his audience, there will be some very upset people in real power and he won't kill himself. Yes, I mean, Kanye is definitely taking large chunks here. He's going at it very fast, which is okay. I mean, he's a multi-billionaire, that's from my understanding. So he can do and say whatever he wants. He's an American with free speech rights. Dino Legovich says, put Kanye West in charge of the war machine. And let's listen to John Bolton, the Christian rapper. That would be a perfect switch. Perfect anime crossover. We put John Bolton as a music producer and Kanye as a politician. Kovi Clown says, Jeff, did you see the guy go up Hassan Piker and troll him on Sam Hyde? No, I didn't. Sorry. Wuju Summer says, how much percentage does JF get with Odyssey chat? I'm getting 92%. That is the best percentage in the business. So that's why I'm very happy to support Odyssey and to make it my exclusive platform. It is my favorite way of receiving super chats. Do not hesitate to use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat if you'd like to contribute to the show. Twitter removes, then reinstates Florida Surgeon General's COVID vaccine warning tweet. So the Florida Surgeon General came out super strong a couple of days ago And he said, look, we've done the research now. The vaccine is killing young men. Literally, he just said, in the age bracket, 18 to 39 years old male, the vaccine is not recommendable at all. So he totally, he's an health authority, but a health authority of a Republican state here, contradicting the federal health authority and the social media. So he comes out and, you know, MD, PhD, Surgeon General of Florida, I guess he knows what he's talking about. And he's like, look, I've done the numbers and we're killing men. So we're going to stop killing men. We're going to stop recommending the vaccine for the 18 to 39. Now, this guy has done the research and he gets his tweet about this removed, but it's the official health authority in Florida. So if you remove his tweet, you remove the way the state of Florida and its doctors are able to communicate to the general public. So they've now reinstated the tweet with a COVID vaccine warning. Unbelievable. So we only get the warnings when the authorities are those that happen to disagree with the other authorities that Twitter has chosen as the legitimate ones. Absolutely ridiculous. We don't have a free discussion anymore. I see what I see says, I am then assuming that all those who got vaccinated and joined the military at that age will die. Yeah, I mean, I've told you guys on another show, the background level of deaths in Europe is worrying. It is shaky above the statistical threshold that would be worrying, and it's above it, so we should worry. There is a background death happening in Europe that is totally unsmooth with respect to before the vaccine, and it starts exactly when the vaccine starts being given. So I don't know when the reckoning will come and when the peer-reviewed scientists will have to acknowledge the truth here. But I don't expect that anything else than the vaccine is at play here. One moment. How the EU is forcing Twitter to censor and Musk can stop it. That is true. Musk will be faced with a problem if he wants to have a free Twitter. What are you going to do with the Canadian government and its own laws? The Europeans, they're going to go after you. So there's one way out, and Elon Musk might be crazy enough to pull it. How about we totally rethink the centralization of Twitter? How about your Twitter account is hosted, and it's hosted on private platforms? And of course, there will be a general private platforms given for free by Twitter. But you can also have other servers, and Twitter would be treated, it would have all the functionality of a centralized thing, but it would be fundamentally just at where the content is hosted, it would fundamentally be like a website HTTP. It would be out there on someone else's server. And perhaps there would be alternate servers that you can go on, and you can pay a little fee per month and they will host it, or perhaps there would be free versions of it, just like there are free HTTP hosts everywhere. If you do this and you succeed at reintegrating it into a central app, but a central app that fundamentally is triggering servers out there that you don't control, maybe you could have free speech. But Gab kind of tried to do this and reverted back to a centralized model. Can Elon Musk succeed at doing something like this? That would be great. Go Away says, Jeff, why don't we just stop offering service to these Eurocucks and Canucks? That's another option. You refuse service, and then the people on the in these countries, they would use some proxy to work around the laws of their government. It's possible. It's also possible. It's very hard for Elon Musk to do, though. But it would be possible for an American to say, I'm not going to travel to Europe ever in my life. And so fuck European law. I mean, you don't have to respect European law. Now, what Europe will do probably is have some blockade on your domain and turn it wide. But then you can have alternate domains popping up and you can have a community of infinite subdomains providing that would basically fix it. But Elon Musk, that's very hard for him to do because he probably has to travel to all these places to establish his Tesla bases and everything. So perhaps one solution for Elon is to to get rid of the company that he just bought. Get rid of Twitter. Give it to Mama JF. Mama JF could be hosting this. You take the $44 billion, you pay Twitter, and then you sell Twitter to Mama JF for $1. And then Elon Musk could still travel to Europe while Twitter violates technically European law. Stephen J. James says, will Play Store and Apple Store dare to remove Twitter if Musk buys? That's another question. How hard are they willing to go? What if Elon decides to supervise less, to do less censorship? It's all up in the air what will happen. One moment, I'll be back in a second. Deadstar says, this video isn't anything groundbreaking, just a dad speaking about his son's suicide over accusations of racism. After everything the father has gone through, his thinking still seems so warped. He's trapped in his enemy's paradigm.
Hi, I'm Gary Byrne. Most of you know me from my books, Crisis of Character and Secrets of the Secret Service. I also have a YouTube channel, and today I want to talk to you about a very sad and a personal issue. I just recently lost my son, my 17-year-old son, Ethan, and to suicide. He took his own life, and you just can't imagine the pain that has caused everybody, and it's hard to imagine the pain that Ethan was in to do that to himself. And he was 17 years old. He was a senior at the Springfield High School in Springfield, Pennsylvania. He was, you know, like everybody would say about their kid, he was a great kid. He was a member of the firehouse. He was just accepted to Millersville College and also accepted to their honors program. He had friends. He was doing great. There were no signs that you normally see. Because what my wife and I didn't know was my son was being viciously and maliciously bullied. And, if you knew Ethan, you'd say, well, how could that kid be bullied? Because we always referred to him as a Ram boy. He's 17 years old. He was almost 6'6", blonde hair, blue eyes. Ethan is a conservative. He was a big Trump supporter. We believe the harassing and bullying started last March or February because he was a Trump supporter. Because he is a conservative, because he's a firearms rights guy, because he, in some ways he was more of a libertarian about some things. Anyway, he was this great kid, but he had some friends that didn't see that, and he had this one particular friend. His name is, and through their whole friendship for years, I mean, he's known this kid for over 15 years. He's always been a little bit of a jerk at times, And in hindsight, I would say this kid had antisocial behavior, at least passive aggressive anyway, in my opinion, based on my observation. And so on top of Ethan being bullied because he was a Trump supporter and an advocate of hunting and the Second Amendment and whatever else people wanted to pick on him for, during a conversation sometime in June, during the summer, these friends of his, they had a group that was a texting group. They also used it to pass information about school and homework, and when they were playing Xbox, they were a big Xbox group, you know. And so anyway, they're discussing what was going on with George Floyd, and Ethan was of the opinion of, you know, this guy was a, you guys, you know, you're not looking at it from the perspective of, you know, all you see is this video, you know. And Ethan and I talked, whenever something like this happens, I talk to my kids. I'm like, okay, you see a video, you think this guy's kneeling on his neck. He's not. It's not what it looks like. You know, you only have one, you know, look at the way the cop is reacting. The cop realizes he's being videoed. If he was doing something wrong, you would see a reaction to him. And I said, you know, never, and in my 29 years in law enforcement experience, I had seen this many times where I was on site when this happened and it was on video. When you look at the video, you're like, wow, from that angle, it looks like this, but that's not what the facts are. And I'm always of mind of, you know, find out actually what happened. Yes, it's a shame George Floyd died, but George Floyd was a career criminal and had drug addiction issues. And eventually those things catch up to you. But what Ethan, they were discussing it back and forth. Of course, Ethan was taking...
It's perfect because it gives my voice a break. I like what, I like hearing his story.
The view of, you know, support the law enforcement first and then let's find out what happened and you know... And so anyway, at some point, Ethan found a meme, you know, a picture of George Floyd. And the caption on it said, and many of you may have seen this, I've seen it floating around social media. It's a picture of George Floyd, and it says, you know, it uses the N-word. It says, N-word doing N-word things. And Ethan's point was messaging, saying it to his friends in this, you know, in this private conversation at the time was, you know, his life, his bad life choices caught up to him. And anyway. And I'm putting words in Ethan's mouth. You know, I never had this discussion with him because he's dead and we didn't know this was happening. And so anyway, I'm just basing it off my knowledge of him and you know, how I raised him. And so anyway, he, a couple of them were offended. Some of them didn't say anything. Anyway, he apologizes. And he also points out to him that you guys use this word all the time. And you also walk around and we call each other faggots and whatever. And he said, you know, it's only when I say something that you guys are offended. And that seemed to be true, especially with this one kid. So at one point, this kid during this texting conversation says to Ethan, you better hope Black Twitter doesn't get a hold of this. You'll never get into college. Well, I didn't even know there was such a thing as Black Twitter, but apparently there is. What I thought he was talking about was this young girl that they go to high school with, who's a young Black female, who's apparently she's a self-appointed justice warrior. Social justice warrior. Her name is, and apparently she was one of the kids that was harassing Ethan, her and her girlfriends, about him being a Trump supporter. So takes this screenshot, he removes everybody else's name off it, and he sends it to this girl, even though he...
All right, so I've heard enough. Yes, it seems like a suicide induced by guilt with respect to the cancel culture that's happening. Yeah, and I don't know. Shelburne says, I saw a comment, that's not Shelburne. Go away, says, this is why you do not red pill your kids. Not worth it. I'd be careful saying that you should not inform your kids about important stuff of the world. But you have to understand if they are strong enough to handle it. Clearly here, I'm not sure the dad fully understands what was the meaning of the use of this meme by his son. Perhaps his son was hanging out on Gab and on places of the internet with increased liberty. that may be where he got this meme. But then he was also attached to a normie group of friends. And if you're still attached to normies, there's going to be a break moment. There's going to be something's got to give. And if you're at 17 years old, you may not have the mental maturity to say, all right, those are just fucking normies, fuck them, and go on with your life, which is what I would have done. But sometimes when you're 17 years old, there are things that look like the end of the world. And perhaps this guy seeing that he was subject to a form of extortion, seeing that they were closing in on isolating him and canceling him, it looked like the end of the world to him. That's what I would think has happened here. And it's too bad. I think that given the severity of cancel culture, I'm not surprised that there must be thousands of people who have committed suicide already as a result of local cancel cultures that you just never hear about. Or perhaps in some cases, we may never get to know it, that it's ultimately a cancel culture suicide. So yes, this is going on. Wuju Summer says, why is he still trying to be looked at like a good guy by the people who bully this kid into suicide? Wake up, old man. They hate you no matter what. Yeah, I think it's the understanding that he should develop with time, hopefully. In the process of a genocide or a pre-genocide or whatever it is that we're in right now, there are all sorts of ways with which a population will try to attack what they perceive as the dominant population. And right now, the perceived dominant population is white people, and they will be attacked in all sorts of ways. And some of these ways are not just committing crimes against white people. There will be this culture of guilt that people will try to impose on our children, and there will be this kind of self-withdrawal. They will basically give you a choice. Either you shut up as a white person and you don't bring these memes and you don't think freely on questions A, B, C, D, or we're canceling you. And once we cancel you, if you commit suicide, well, it solves the problem for them. They got you out of the business of messing with their revolutionary movement. It's horrible that these things are happening, but I'm reporting them here because they are part of the news and we need to discuss about this. Go away, says Jeff. Thoughts on single-sex education? I went to a boys' school and I am grateful that I had the chance to intellectually mature in an environment where shame was not something to fear, but on the flip side, I had to learn how to communicate with girls at a later date than most. I think it's great. I think that the results of single sex schooling speak for themselves. They are probably better objectively. It's probably a better way because once you get the boys and girls in, at very young age, it may not matter that much. But as soon as you're starting to have the building of social hierarchies, it totally directs the attention of the children toward escalating the social hierarchy, to be with the best girls, to have the best chances of having a girlfriend. And that probably stems around 8, 9, 10, and then it becomes sexual attraction and wanting to have a girlfriend at anywhere from 11 to 18. So that window is a window where if you go the two sexes in the same school, you do create an environment where the attention of children is totally directed toward the social aspect, charming the other sex, escalating the social ladder of your own sex, and it's not a proper environment to learn. So yes, although I've not had any experience with unisex schools, I think they are objectively better. I'm not against the other type also existing. It's not dramatic, but it's probably more focused. John Goras says, I wish I had gone to an all-boys high school. Girls are a major distraction. Yeah, it's just like this. Firestarter says, I think cancel culture has always been part of societies with different names. Absolutely. In fact, I made the case that the Bible, the New Testament, basically is about cancel culture. And I think that's what it is. I think Jesus was the first victim in recorded history of cancel culture. Maybe not even the first. Maybe some Greek people in the Homer's Odyssey may have been a victim of some cancel culture. PayPal reverses course, says company will not seize money from people for promoting misinformation. PayPal on October 8 said it was not implementing a new policy that would have enabled the company to seize money from users who allegedly promote misinformation or hate. They did the same thing as so many social media and other companies are doing. They get out with the announcement and they say, at our discretion, we can take $2,500 from your account if you've been involved in using your account for spreading misinformation or hate. And then people start reacting like that. That is a grave thing. I mean, you're talking about basically the bank of the internet. So you're supposed to be like a bank. I should be able to trust you as much as a bank. And yet you're telling me that you can just pay according to your full discretion. So if you decide that what I say is misinformation, $2,500. Now people fight back, they complain, and then they say, oh, well, this was put out in error. We didn't mean it, and no, we won't take $2,500. It does look like it wasn't put out in error. It does look like you were rolling this out and now you're walking back because people complain. That is extremely worrying for PayPal to do this. We have to have laws. It would be so easy if we had a political class at the service of the people. Just make a law that once you're a financial service, you owe service to anyone who brings money to you, and you owe them equally. And it doesn't matter if he's a right-winger, or if he doesn't like Mark Zuckerberg, or if he thinks this or that about George Floyd. No matter what you are doing, you are entitled to receive financial services unless you stole money from them. It would be as simple as this. And we have the environment of laws that already exist against discrimination. So it wouldn't be very hard for the politicians to get together and say, all right, an anti-discrimination law on the internet for financial services, social media, etc. but they don't. It doesn't get done. A COVID vax study has been debunked. So it was a study that was concluding that the vaccine was efficacious. But someone noted, and they said, after I saw this, I am ashamed of being an academic. In the unvaccinated group, so if you do a study to compare the unvaccinated with the fully vaccinated, you have these groups must be well defined, and you cannot take data from one group and put it in the other when it fits your narrative. Because if you can move the data between the groups, anything goes. You can create any result you would want. And the Gateway Pundit was pointing out, wow, they actually put an explicit note that says unvaccinated includes individuals with partial vaccination. So what does that mean? When you've had your first, second shot, but you didn't get your booster, it has been demonstrated that there's a negative vaccine efficiency. So you're more likely to get COVID. But they took these guys who were more likely to get COVID because they got the vaccine. They've put him in the unvaccinated category. So now the data that you have about the unvaccinated is not truly about those who chose not to get the vaccine. It's a bunch of people that are a mix that include people who have had two doses, but not the third booster or whatever was the criteria then. So basically, people who have been actually exposed to the dangerous negative effectiveness of the vaccine. And look at the B. Fully vaccinated includes unvaccinated individuals with previous infection. So they took people who were not vaccinated, they had COVID, and they were like, if we put these people in unvaccinated, it's going to demonstrate that the unvaccinated are doing way too well. So they took unvaccinated people who had COVID, they put them in the vaccinated category. At this point, it's not a study anymore about the efficiency of the vaccine. It's a study about, are people with immunity better than people with no immunity? And then switch the word immunity for vaccine and stamp this on the front page of your article. Absolutely deceptive method here. That's exactly why we end up being unable to tell people for months that the vaccine was dangerous because of censorship, and then being unable for months because the peer review is so slow that we don't get studies out and everyone is uncertain, and then for more months because there's oppression within the field and researchers don't want to do the research, is going to result in our ability to tell people the dangers to which we've exposed them will take years. It will take years before we can tell them honestly, look, now that we have the data, it wasn't a good idea to vaccinate. But we could have known this way before. And this will be the last news item because I am exhausted and it's very hard for me to speak. But I did 1 hour, so not so bad. I'll take a 5-second break, but this news item is the funniest thing in a while. So you know how the Ukrainians, whenever they make an advance, they want to make a mediatic opportunity about it so that they can gather more and more money from the American politicians. They pushed it too far. And initially I was like, that sounds bizarre. I would like to see photos. But they started claiming that they have discovered in a village that they have taken back from the Russians, they have discovered Russian mini Auschwitz torture chambers. And this was a message from the, you know, the official government of Ukraine. They were going out with this. There is a kind of mini Auschwitz. That's a tweet that they had done. A torture chamber in Pisky Radvizky. Two photos, a gas mask that was put on the head of a victim who was covered with a smoldering rag and buried alive, and a box of gold dental crown. A mini Auschwitz. How many more will be found in occupied Ukraine? The suggestion being that these golden crowns were extracted from people's teeth to torture them, to get them to admit things. Well, evil Russians doing this. It was later discovered, and I wish I had been there that day to cover that news. It was later discovered that these crowns, these artifacts, are not a result of the war. It's a dentist office, and the dentist was collecting all of the golden teeth from his customers across the years, and the dentist came out and he said, hey, wait, this is my gold teeth collection. Exclusive, we spoke to a local dentist, Sergey, in the village about this horror photo. The teeth look like the ones from my cabinet. My house was looted by Russians. They come from people that I treated all these years. I took these teeth out. So the torture chamber of the Russian turned out to be a dentist office. The dentist had collected all these teeth, and the Russians maybe thought that there was something to steal there. Maybe it's actual gold or whatever. So they just took the teeth from him. That is the story of a fake torture chamber, a fake mini Auschwitz happening in Ukraine that never happened. That is it for tonight, Buzz. This is as good as it gets in terms of the news. It's great news that we've seen today. Kanye awakening to realities of the world. Vladimir Putin determined to address the problem of terrorism of his Crimea bridge. The censorship gone wrong, and eventually the companies are backing out. And now a debunking live of a false torture chamber claim. This is all extremely good news. Things are going well. I feel the winds are back into our sails. That is it for tonight, Buzz. Much love. See you all tomorrow. Thank you.